Toy Story Land has an opening date. Those stories and more are coming up on Traveling with the Mouse.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 68 of Traveling with the Mouse for February 21st.
You're still suffering from a little bit of jet lag from your recent trip, right?
Yes, jet lag, even though I didn't jet. But anyway.
You're probably booking it home.
I did. I made it in pretty fast time. My name is Adam Brown. I am joined by John Martin.
In case you didn't know.
That is.
Since I've already chimed in.
Yes. That's if you're a first-time listener, perhaps.
Yes, so. I have. This is a first-time listening for me.
Oh, what? You don't listen to the show? What?
Of course I do.
So this is our news episode, as we mentioned before, and I guess the number one story is Toy Story Land is opening June 30th, a little later than some had suspected, but it is not a Memorial Day attraction or opening day anymore. It is June 30th, so about a month later. What do you say?
Well, assuming it ever really was a Memorial Day opening, people just, you know, like to throw that out there. I think they'll have plenty of crowds without having to have an opening, so I think they're probably avoided that date on purpose.
Yeah. It could be. Or, I mean, the construction photos looked like it was going to be a lot to get it open by the May 31st or whatever the actual Memorial Day is this year.
No, I mean, it's still 3 months away, so.
Yeah. Now it's four.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think this is good. I mean, again, it's also probably to help summer attendance increase again instead of because Pandora, you know, was good for Animal Kingdom, but it still was a little bit slow in the summer last year overall.
Although Animal Kingdom's numbers, I'm sure, was up.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. So we also have the height requirements for the upcoming attractions. Slinky Dog, not really a surprise here, will be 38 inches, same as Seven Dwarves Mine Train. And 32 for Alien Flying Saucer Spin.
I'm curious. I don't know. I don't remember looking at it when I was there. Of course, it was like 5 years ago. But does the Mater's Jamboree have a height requirement?
You know, I feel like it did. My lovely research assistant just handed me this card that says height requirement of 32 inches at Disneyland. So it is the same. Height requirement, which to me, I think, wouldn't that be the lowest height requirement ride at Disney World? 32 inches? I don't think there's anything. I think, what, 35 is Barnstormer? I think that's the lowest one currently at Walt Disney World.
I'm not really sure.
I believe that is. So this would be the lowest height requirement ride at Walt Disney World.
Just looking at that ride, though, even the Mater's one, I mean, what is the reason for the height requirement? Is it the seats?
I think it's the motion. It whips you very briskly. I don't know what the right word is, but it is sudden and fast. And it whips you a pretty good distance. So I think it's the motion and probably jerkiness of it is a little surprising and for younger kids might be too intense.
You know, if that's the case, though, I often wonder, why do they give a height requirement and not an age requirement?
Yeah.
Because think of it this way. Just even if you have a particularly tall, say, two-year-old, like myself.
Yes. Like me, too.
How does that factor into the rest of their bone structure and the, you know what I'm saying? And their whole reason why they keep you rear-facing for so long in a car seat, you know, those sort of things.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Well, I was thinking about this during my last trip. I rode Seven Dwarfs Mine Train by myself, and this was 2 years after I let my son ride it as two. He was tall enough at that point, and I'm riding it going, I can't believe I let my two-year-old do this. It was because I had not done it before that, before I let him ride it with us. It was my first time riding it as well. And afterwards, this time, I was like, wow, this was 2 years ago I let him ride this. Probably not a great move on my part. He met the requirement, but I probably scarred him for life, because I'll get into this perhaps on a future episode of a trip report, but we had a meltdown on Pirates of the Caribbean, or in the line for Pirates of the Caribbean, because he knew there was a drop in the dark and he was not wanting to do it. So to say the least, he was pitching a fit until we got on the ride, and then he was fine. But he was making a huge scene in the Pirates line. So I may have scarred him for at least the next few years on doing anything with any thrill.
Well, the Pirates, though, the queue, yeah, no, it's kind of dark and dingy, and it might have been a little scary.
Yeah, well, he knew the drop. There was a drop. He knows there's a drop. I mean, he watches these on YouTube all the time. And that's what he kept saying was, the drop, I don't want to do the drop. You know.
Oh, okay.
He was hysterical, and it's funny now.
It's all your fault. But,
yeah, I'm just like, oh, boy. It's like a 10-foot drop. I don't even know what the actual height of it is, but it's not much.
Anyway. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, we've taken Maddie on Frozen Ever After twice now, and she doesn't react, I guess. So.
Right. And that's how he was the first couple of times on Frozen, even Pirates, you know, taking him on as like a 8-month-old or a year-old. It didn't bother him. It didn't seem to bother him. But now that he's old enough to know, like, to say, oh, you know, I don't want to do this, or I'm scared of the drop, or whatever, he can tell us why. I think he recognizes everything now, too. Like, oh, I remember this. I remember that. Ooh, yeah. It took some convincing to get him to do Barnstormer. But it's funny to watch. One other side note, it's just funny to watch your kids when they get, like, an adrenaline kick, because he could have done anything after he did Barnstormer. He was wanting to ride Mine Train. He wanted to ride Space Mountain. He wanted to do everything. I want to ride roller coasters. And then later he was like, no. Once the adrenaline ran out.
Wore off.
Yeah. That's funny. Anyway.
It's all because of that trip you took him on Space Mountain.
Yes. Yeah, I'm kind of like, I don't know what I was thinking there either. Anyway, so.
Moving
on. Toy Story Land. We already talked about that. And we talked last week about the Fast Passes being shut down, right, for April and May. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's what we talked about.
For,
I believe it was part of April and May.
Which attraction was it we said that? Mania. Oh, yeah.
Toy Story Midway Mania. Yeah. Is that what
it was? Yeah, I was just like, I had a moment there. Yeah, my brother actually is going in April, the middle of April, and he... Of course, he doesn't really know as much. He seems to be under the impression that they're going to have FastPass for that, but I was like, I don't think they're issuing them.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll find out. They're going through a travel agent.
Oh, okay. So we'll see then. That's Toy Story Land, so looking forward to that. Another thing that I am mentioning here, I wanted to mention last week that I forgot about, was about the minivan service. There were price increases all over the place, which we talked about last week, but I don't think we mentioned that the minivans are now $25 per ride instead of $20. So either these are becoming popular, I mean, I do see them a lot, or they just want to charge more. To me, $25 seems ludicrous. $20 seemed ludicrous, but I guess they're becoming more popular.
It sounds to me it's very similar to the way to handle the crowds. In this case, I think they see the demand increasing and they don't want to increase the supply, so therefore they increase the charge to hopefully curb the demand.
Exactly. I mean, to me, this is a great idea. I think it should be much more widespread, and it is, because this, as of a couple of days ago, this is now available at Port Orleans, Riverside, and French Quarter, as well as other resorts like Wilderness Lodge, Animal Kingdom Lodge, Fort Wilderness Resort and Campground, Grand Floridian Polynesian, Old Key West, Saratoga Springs, Caribbean Beach, and Pop Century. Which is interesting. Wasn't that the Contemporary?
Hmm. Yeah, and see, well, Contemporary is just so convenient. You don't That's really true. Need it, mostly. But
yeah.
The minivans, though, having them added to Port Orleans and French Quarter, I could see very much the temptation there to opt for that over the bus service, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Even though it's going to cost you $50 just to go to and from somewhere.
Right.
It's going to cost you half what you're paying to admit into the park.
Yes.
Both ways. But, you know, if you're willing to just say that's part of the cost of doing this, then more power to you.
Yeah. It'll save in time. So if time is money, then maybe it's worth $25 each way.
Is time $50?
I don't know. Depends on how valuable your time is.
It might even depend on people who probably would just start budgeting into their trip, I guess. I don't know.
And, of course, this service launched at Yacht and Beach and Boardwalk, but still don't mention anything like Swan Dolphin or Contemporary, which, again, like you said, is pretty convenient from there. And then, like, the All-Stars and stuff. So, eventually, I'm sure it will be resort-wide, but they're just slowly rolling it out. And by then, it will be $50 per direction. So,
yeah, I think I could see it being maybe a justified cost for those that had to fly, which is a good many.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see that. And I think hopefully the idea behind this is maybe it will take a little bit of pressure off of the bus transportation, but we'll see. I don't know that that's going to take that much off, though.
Yeah, I doubt it. I doubt it'll take that much off, unless they increase the supply of these. But it doesn't seem... I see them, but I don't see them, like, a lot. So...
Well, I mean, I know I said that, but adding $5 to it, probably not going to curb it that much, but I think they're just using it as a means of curbing it a little bit until they either put more in the fleet or they just, you know, increase it even more.
Right.
Now, for the convenience. That's pretty much what it is.
I wanted to try this on my most recent trip. I wanted to try it, but you know, from the Contemporary, apparently it's not available there. I didn't really have a situation where I thought I could use it. I was only there for 4 days this time, so I didn't really have a situation where I was like, I need it to get here or there. It didn't really make sense, so I didn't try it. But you know, every minivan is equipped with two car seats and can hold up to 6 total, I think is what it says, if I remember right. So you can have like 4 adults, 2 kids, or even more. I think it has third row seating, I'm not sure. So good for them.
I pretty much drive the entire trip in a minivan, so.
Yeah. Well, are you going to put polka dots on your minivan?
That would be kind of neat, wouldn't it?
That would be funny.
Actually, let's see, this is technically my mom's vehicle we drove in the last couple of times, so it's already a white color, so what we could do is we could cover, like, put circles all over it, and then just spray paint it pink, and then there would be, take the circles off, and there's your white polka dots.
Just be careful when you pull up to unload your luggage and check in, people are going to jump in and want you to drive them around.
Yeah.
Hey, though, this might be a good way to earn extra, some extra cash.
Yeah, it's like, this minivan is cash only.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I wonder what they would do, though. Because obviously these are all Chevys, and that would probably throw it off in the first place, so.
Yeah, you know, this is something interesting about someone might try to, someone could try to. But, I mean, if you're using the app, you know where they're located, so.
Yeah, the Lyft one service, or the Lyft one, excuse me, the Lyft app.
It would be hard, unless you're an actual Lyft driver somewhere else, and then you, but I don't think that would really, anyway. All right,
then.
Yes, we've beaten that topic to death here. So, let's just jump into one quickly here, that Marvel and Disney film, The Black Panther, had a huge opening debut. First weekend earned upwards of $235 million for a 4-day total, breaking, or I don't know if it broke a lot of box office records, but it sure is a lot of money for an opening weekend for any film. So pretty darn impressive, and it has a 97% Rotten Tomatoes. I want to see this film, but I have not yet, and I don't know how I'm going to be able to currently with kids. It's kind of hard. I mean, with Star Wars, it was easy because it was around the holidays and I had a lot of time off. And with this, it's kind of, I'm not sure how I'm going to work it into my schedule, but maybe I'll just wait till it comes out on DVD or Netflix.
Yeah, at this point, I don't know that I'm ever going to go to a movie theater ever again.
Yeah, I guess not. Star Wars didn't get you out there, so.
I think I'm going to start the streak that Mitch currently has.
Gosh, what was it? Lion King was the last one?
Yeah, before. Well, of course, No. He has wiped his memory of going to see the Indiana Jones
before. Oh, that's right. He did go see. Oh, yes. Yeah. That was probably the last time we've been to the movie.
But if you were to say that, he'd be like, no, I didn't.
Right, yes, he would totally say that. Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. That was the last.
It's like what is this Kingdom of the Crystal Skull you speak of?
For those who don't know, we're talking about my older brother.
In which he believes that the indie movies finished back in 1989.
Which I kind of do too, because it was funny in conversation after the show last week, we were just ranking them, and I totally didn't even think about Crystal Skull.
Nobody does.
Right. I was just like, yeah, I think Temple's probably the worst of the three. And you're like, what about Crystal Skull? Oh.
Yeah, I had to say that.
That's an email.
Oh, yeah, Crystal Skull. Oh, yeah, it's definitely the worst.
Oh. Yeah, forgot about that.
Like, except for the obvious bottom. I mean, come on.
Yeah. I had forgotten that. But anyway, good for Black Panther and the movie. I think it's going to be great. I see that Disneyland has a meet and greet already for Black Panther, but I'm wondering if Disney World has any issues with that, or Universal and that agreement they had to make when they acquired Marvel. Are they going to be able to get that same meet and greet in Hollywood Studios, I would assume? So it's certain characters, right? I know, because they can get, Guardians of the Galaxy characters, but they can't get like Spider-Man or Captain America in Florida.
Universal had no interest, obviously, in Guardians of the Galaxy. Didn't think there would ever be anything much to be made of them. So, that was the one intellectual property Disney acquired that they were able to take and make interesting, truthfully.
Right. So I'm just curious, is Black Panther a part of that or not? Will they be able to, if this movie is as successful as it is, are they going to be able to exploit that in the parks?
I don't recall there being anything on, like, Black Panther-wise.
Yeah.
As far as Universal goes, I don't recall seeing any Black Panther merchandise or anything like that.
Yeah. Probably not, because it wasn't a very mainstream character until now. So right. I think that's a good thing for Disney.
I mean, just from my memory, I recall over on Superhero Marvel Island, as they call it, in Islands of Adventure.
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing your classic X-Men
look
characters, your Spider-Man, your Hulk, your Captain America.
Yeah.
I mean, characters such as this, I remember seeing them up in places and displayed in places. But, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. So we'll find out, because if it's going to make money, Disney will have it in the parks. That is for sure.
Any way they can.
So let's move over to, there was one little story I was seeing this morning this week about the Disneyland Hotel. The new Disneyland Hotel released new concept art for the hotel and monorail station that is taking over a chunk of downtown Disney. It's really not much, but it looks cool. It's got these cool looking overhangs.
Do they even have a name?
I don't see a name. That's the thing. I don't think they ever have released a name yet. Yeah, it's funny. Like with the Disney World, the Riviera, which is already like on its fourth or fifth floor in construction, something like that. It's already concept art. There's not any new concept art, but there's already a name, there's already a theme, there's already all this stuff. I don't think they've released anything yet about this, so maybe they're just winging it. That'd be kind of weird.
It's real interesting to me how they have. I wasn't even sure they had enough space to make one in between, anyway, the Disneyland Hotel and the Disneyland Monorail, but apparently they do.
Yeah.
They must really be closing off that area in front of Disneyland Hotel and really kind of cramping, in a way, congesting the Disneyland Hotel entrance.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad in a way.
It is, because it's a nice little walk from there, and now I don't know. I'm sure there's a way to walk, but you're probably going to have to walk through this hotel or through some narrower pathways to get there.
That's what it looks like.
And then, of course, downtown Disney is going to be smaller as a result.
I don't know. Some of the concept art suggests it's going to be non-existent. By the time it's all said and done.
Interesting.
So,
yeah, I don't know.
I think they're probably going to incorporate that downtown area really with the new resort in a weird way. Because they're trying to make this Four Diamond, you know.
Right.
Oh, boy. That's what this is going to be. So this is going to be the coup de grace as far as Disney hotels goes, is the way they're presenting it. So we'll see.
Yeah.
That's why they had to increase prices to pay for this.
Yeah, of course. It makes you wonder, Disneyland at some point, you know, they really have no land. Are they going to start buying like subdivisions and start leveling them out next door? Like, are they going to be able to do that?
I don't know. They probably have a lot of red tape out in California to go through, truthfully.
That is
in these days.
Plus, the businesses around there have a lot of power now in how they do. They talk down this whole extra parking and bypass system, or, you know, walkway and all the stuff that they were wanting to do, Disney wanted to do, and they had to drop that whole project, which is going to be interesting for Star Wars Land, because I'm really, like, again, I'm thinking Hollywood Studios, that's going to be at capacity, like, every day when Star Wars Land opens, so I can't imagine Disneyland, because it's at Disneyland Park, how in the world that's going to hold, you know, they don't have enough parking, they don't have enough capacity in the park itself to handle the crowds that are going to be there, I don't think. Now, Disneyland has tons of attractions to absorb some crowd, but when Disneyland gets crowded, it is not pleasant to be in that park.
Well, you got to think of it this way. Most of the advertisement being made regarding Galaxy's Edge is pertaining to Florida. Even though Disneyland's going to have their own version, they're probably not going to see the numbers. Don't get me wrong, they're going to increase, but they're probably not going to see the numbers that Disney World is going to see.
True.
I feel very confident that that's going to be the case.
And that makes me wonder, because a lot of people still suspect Disneyland's is going to open first. I kind of wonder, are they going to try to match these at the same to have the same opening date, so that people will not, you know, who would normally go to Florida wouldn't make the trek out to California just to see this first. Where if they had the same opening date.
You make a good point there.
I don't know.
The particularly enthusiastic Star Wars fans will.
They'll go.
Probably wherever's make that open trek
first, yeah. They'll be there. So,
but what was the difference between the opening dates? We don't know for sure yet, though, do we?
No, they just suspected summer next year for Disneyland and fall for Disney World, but I don't know.
In my head, I keep thinking that like everything that they do is almost like a social economic experiment.
Right.
Not experience, but experiment for future things pertaining to them. We'll see.
Yeah. So, any other news topics that you have on your docket?
I don't really think so. I think we mentioned most everything. I think there's new merchandise for those of you that care that's been fluctuating in for Galaxy's Edge and Toy Story Land already at Hollywood Studios this month. Did you happen to see any of that?
You know, I didn't go to Hollywood Studios while I was there. Didn't want to waste the time going there, But I do see those shirts available. That was actually pretty cool. The Galaxy's Edge shirts coming soon, coming 2019 or whatever those shirts says. That does look cool. I kind of wanted one of those, but
didn't really get a chance to check it out. Okay,
not really.
Well, I understand because our December half and half trip, the one park we decided to skip was Hollywood Studios.
Yeah.
So, and one update, since you didn't mention it though, we talked about the Mickey meet and greet at Magic Kingdom. They have an official date for him to go silent.
Yes, that's one.
And that's May 12th.
I'm still sad by this because I really love this one. And according to this article, it shows that the meet and greet is still going to be a Mickey meet and greet. It's just that he's not going to speak anymore. So how is that going to avoid confusion now if people are used to the talking Mickey for the last 5 or 6 years and now he's not going to be talking anymore?
Yeah, you're going to have complaints that he's silent.
Right.
I mean, it's very simple. Especially those that have been, like you said, it's any time in the last 5 or 6 years and they're not as savvy on Disney news and stuff like this. And then they're going to go there, oh, you want to see the talking Mickey? And
right.
You're going to go there, and it's like, oh, he's not talking.
Exactly.
He has laryngitis.
Yeah, because if you don't know about this, and you've gone, a year or so ago, or a couple years ago, and you remember it, and, oh, this is the thing, kids, enjoy it. And then the kids are like, why isn't he talking? So, yeah it's going to be a problem.
To start with, but it's one of those things that will eventually go away, like the same way that most politicians handle things.
Right, just let it go away.
You just endure the backlash until it fades away, because people forget very soon and move on to the next thing.
True.
So,
I guess that's how this will work out.
Yeah, pretty much. That's the Disney plan as well, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And we will follow suit.
Probably, unfortunately. But, I mean, I'll still talk fondly of it, because this is one I pretty much try to do every time I go, because I think it's so unique. It's the most unique character meet and greet that is currently at Disney World. And I think it is really cool. But my son loves it. He absolutely loves it. I hate that it's not going to be the same, but, it'd still be fine, I guess. It is what it is.
So, yeah, as far as that goes, I can't really think of any other Disney-related news. When you were talking about the hotel in Disneyland, though, I did, I don't know, I'm sure you've probably seen it, that hotel is going to be released at Universal Studios in August. Looks really cool.
It does.
Aventura, I think it is. How do they call it? Is that how they pronounce it?
Yeah, we drove by Universal on the way in, and we could see the construction of that hotel. It looks pretty neat. But,
it's supposed to be state-of-the-art.
Yeah. Is that the one where a lot of things are automated? Like
supposedly it's going to be the most technological advanced hotel that they've ever done. I don't know if that means anyone, but they say that they've ever done.
Interesting.
And that appeals to me. I just want to stay there now just to see how tech-savvy it is.
Well, that's probably why the Star Wars hotel is going to match that more than likely.
Yeah. That may be why they're coming out with it first, so I don't know.
Yes.
We'll see.
Right. This will be Disney's answer to that.
But this is also, it says, our tribute to all travels.
Yes. Okay.
So.
Well, wait a minute. Didn't we talk about Universal one last week or two weeks ago, and you were like, but this is not a Universal news show.
Well, I mean, the topic, though, wasn't for Universal.
No, I get it. So.
But this is news, so this is Universal news.
Yes.
We just called it a news show. Indeed. Even though it's mostly Disney news.
So that'll do it for this news episode, since we're kind of dragging the horse here. But I think that, this week, while we had some big news, was overall a fairly slower week. So you can reach us, travelingwiththemouse.com. You can email us, podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. You can visit us on Patreon, patreon.com/TWTM podcast. If you like the show, want to support the show and help us out, do that. We'd appreciate it. Also, we have a Spreadshirt store, shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM, and there is a sale coming up, 15% off your orders. The promo code is 1515OFF18. I should have said that better. 15 off 18. And it is from tomorrow, February 22nd through February 25th. And get your Traveling with the Mouse gear at a discount. Where else can we be found?
We can be found on social media, on Facebook, at TWTM Podcast, on Twitter, at TWTM Podcast, and on Instagram, at TWTM Podcast. And particularly recently, you can see a few shots and photos and what have you of Adam's most recent journey to the world of Walt Disney.
Indeed. And if you want to hear more about that on an upcoming episode, listen on Monday's episode on February 25th. So look forward to that. For John Martin, I'm Adam Brown, and this has been Traveling with the Mouse. We will see you on our next trip.